Now, last week, unfortunately, our wonderful David Moore from Astronomy Ireland was cut short. I am so sorry. You were a good sport, David. You're very welcome back this lovely Monday. How are you?
Fantastic. We had a great clear sky last night for once, after all the horrible clouds we've been having of recent times.
We did. So lots of wonderful things again happening this week. So we have two comets on display, and I think there's a lot of interest in these. I think I see a lot of wonderful photographs. We had beautiful photographs last week again, because I'm following social media in a way that I wasn't before I sat in this chair. So I blame you for that. But tell us about what we can expect to see in our skies this week.
Yeah, well, we have the very rare treat of a comet visible to the naked eye, and it's just heading towards its brightest. So I could see it faintly last night near the plough. People know the plough, lower left of the left end of the plough, to give you a rough idea. There's actually a map in Astronomy Ireland magazine showing exactly where it is. But if it gets five times brighter, it's going to be an easy sight. Hopefully we'll see its tail as well. And this happened exactly 1 year ago as well, with another comet called TA for short. I remember popping out, and there it was, with its tail, plain to the naked eye immediately. So we've already got this one, about as bright as the Andromeda Galaxy, if people know how to find that. You have to know a bit about astronomy to find that, but it's the most distant object visible to the naked eye, very popular. Looks like a little hazy patch high overhead these nights, and the comet was as bright as that. But the Andromeda Galaxy won't get any brighter in the coming days, but Comet Lemon, as it's called, will, because it's going to be passing closest to us and the sun, which both help to brighten it up. And you've seen those pictures online with cameras.
They're fascinating photographs, aren't they? Amazing to see.
Yeah. You see, the human eye is like a video camera, so it's taking several pictures a second. So each one doesn't gather much light, but you do get the motion in it, which is what we need as animals on this planet. But cameras, they can collect light for minutes, sometimes hours on end, and totally leave the human eye behind. And you get all the colors. I was taking pictures with a telescope last night. You can see streamers coming out of the head of the comet, because a comet's a giant, dirty snowball, and the sun's vaporizing it, and the steam's being blown away by the radiation from the sun into these lovely jets of steam, really, that show up beautifully in pictures when you get a big, bright comet.
Technology has played such a huge part with regard to photography, and how we actually to own these images ourselves is quite an incredible thing. As children, we couldn't have dreamed of such things. I mean, it's really phenomenal. And you just, at the click of a button, you're looking at these incredible photographers and what they've done. You know, it's really something.
Yeah. We get them from all over the world now. These comets, the comet Lemon was visible in the morning sky, so people like getting up at 6 or 7 in the morning were seeing it in August and September. There's another comet, Swan, that was only visible in the southern hemisphere, but we could live vicariously through their lenses and enjoy it from the northern hemisphere. Now it's become visible. Not as bright as comet Lemon, so maybe one for the end. It's on the edge of naked eye visibility, but a bit lower down. So we've got two fairly bright comets in the sky, but Comet Lemon, if you've got a camera phone, excuse me, you can take pictures of stars fainter than you can see with your eyes, with even inexpensive camera phones these days. Just find the night mode or the pro mode, and they take a several second exposure. So you'll need to prop your camera up somehow. Tripod's the ultimate way of doing it.
Yep.
But you know, you can get a shoe and prop it up in that, aiming up. She was just perfect for a smartphone. They hold them at the right angle, and you'll end up with stars fainter than you can see, the comet and its tail, which is even fainter than the head of the comet. So we want people to go out and have a try at that. If you've got a camera phone, who doesn't? Once we get a clear sky in Ireland, we want to publish the Irish photographs in our magazine. The international ones are there all over the internet. But no, there are some excellent Irish photographers. We've already got a few in from last night, and as the comet brightens, we're hoping to get more.
Fascinating. We are comet rich at the moment. We really are. So something else that's going to be happening, maybe it's already happening, is it? The Orionid. Orionid,
so
yeah, sorry.
A lot of these terms come from Latin. So Orionid means from Orion. And Orion's a winter constellation. You have to be up very late to see it this time of year, with the three belt stars in a line, and just below it is the Orion Nebula, faintly visible to naked eye, huge star-forming region in space, about 1,500 light-years away. But that's not why the Orionids are famous. They're famous because they're bits of dust that fell off Halley's Comet that goes around the sun about once every human lifetime, 75 years or so. It was last nearest the sun in 1986 and won't be back till 2061. So you think you wouldn't see anything of it, but in fact it's been around the sun probably thousands of times, and it's spread dust all around its orbit stage. So when we go near the orbit of Halley's Comet, even though the comet's moved on, we plow through this swarm of dust particles, and they burn up in the atmosphere. And they all point back, or appear to point back, to the constellation of Orion. But you don't have to see Orion. You'll see them anywhere in the sky, just that they point back to Orion. So that means of Orion, Orion it. And it's a very slow shower that peaks over several days. So tonight's the best night, but last night and tomorrow night won't be bad either. It's not a huge shower like the one that's coming in December. You might see 10 to 20 per hour, but you sort of do have to wait till after 11 o'clock. Really, midnight to dawn is the best time to see the Orionids. If you want to see a bit of Halley's Comet, this is your chance.
That's quite special, I think. You know, you said 86. I thought it was 87, but then I don't know. It's strange, you know, as I was a little child, and I just, the idea that, no, I would never see this again. It would be a lifetime away that it would come back again, and that really affected me. I was a child, you know, I was thinking, gosh, we really have to see this now and pay attention. Remember what it looked like. It looks like it's such an honour to see it, which is so lovely, you know.
Yeah, we're giving away our age here, but I was just got my first job.
Oh.
And I took all my savings and went to Australia on it for about 2 weeks to view all the observatories down there and Halley's Comet in particular, because it was high overhead from down there and a bit low from Ireland. And I still remember the sights of seeing Halley's Comet. I can't wait till 2061 to see it again.
Well, the way things are going with technology, we might still be here. No, that's fascinating. What was your first job?
I worked in IT. I went to college to do astrophysics, but there weren't many jobs in that. And you use a lot of computer studying physics. So I decided to switch to computer science, did a minor in experimental physics in UCD, but ended up graduating in computer science. Did a few years in IT. Didn't find it as exciting as the astronomy. Went back to astronomy as an amateur astronomer and set up Astronomy Ireland, and the rest is history.
The rest is
now
history.
I've met and shook Neil Armstrong's hand, Buzz Aldrin, the first two men on the moon, loads of other astronauts and scientists from Stephen Hawking to Brian Cox and all points in between. So it's actually been a fascinating career, instead of moving stock control systems and invoices around all day.
I'll say.
I must admit I found it a little bit boring, although they did pay very well, to be fair to them.
That's so lovely. That really is lovely. But they say don't meet your heroes, but if you're going to, those are the right ones to meet, aren't they?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm a bit biased, but I keep thinking surely Neil Armstrong is the most famous human being in the history of the world.
Oh sure.
I mean, there's some terrible people like Hitler and the like that have got bad reputations, but certainly on the good side of cards, the first person to set foot will remember that for not only millennia, maybe millions of years.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going quite incredible. I do a podcast, you like a visual one, like maybe Astronomy Ireland. Is there something? Because I know you do have a lot of content out, but I feel like this is, you should be doing a podcast and telling these stories.
Yeah, we've been planning one for a while. We have a few plans in the pipeline now to ramp up Astronomy Ireland. It's already the world's most popular astronomy society, and it keeps our volunteers extremely busy. But we're hoping to expand, and Eugene's actually going to help us on this, but we won't yet. All I say is watch this space. And I suppose there's our podcast in the meantime. We're doing it, I think it's a year this month, if I remember correctly.
Well, I feel very honoured to be stepping in to sit in his seat, you know, and couldn't do him justice, of course, but I feel very honoured to be standing in for him and to be part of that in some way, or witness to it, shall we say. But you see, 88.7, this is what community radio inspires and enables. So this is really important. So we're getting a sort of a front row sort of view at history here and history being made. So delighted to hear that. Before I let you go, tell us about your Saturn watch this week. So we need to talk about that. We didn't have much time.
Saturn, you can see it in the south as a bright star, but point a big telescope at it, and there is the globe with its rings and moons going around it. It has 274, but most of them are tiny. But there are four big ones, and we're going to set up telescopes to show people Saturn tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, at our headquarters in Dublin. But we're on the outskirts of Dublin, near the M50, so you don't have to go into Dublin. Nice and easy to get to. Details are on astronomy.ie, including a map on exactly where we are. Book your tickets there as well. And you won't see Saturn with its rings tilted edge on to us like they will be all this week and all for the next few weeks until 2039. And the weather forecast looks good. So it's a really unique chance to see Saturn up close in a giant telescope if you haven't got thousands of euro to spend on your own. Come and look through ours. Details on astronomy.ie. And it's actually been deliberately, we could do it any day in the next few weeks. It's deliberately exactly 1 week before our beginners astronomy classes start online. So they're happening tomorrow week as well. And details of those are on astronomy.ie. Thousands of people have taken them. No knowledge of science or math needed. Just a fascination with the universe. You'll enjoy them.
Wonderful. David, we're just out of time, unfortunately. One of these days I'm going to get you for a full 20-minute segment and we will talk without interruption. But thank you for joining us this lovely Monday afternoon, coming into evening. And have a wonderful week. And you will be joining us again next Monday on 88.7. Thank you so much. David Moore, Astronomy Ireland. That is Kilkenny Today for this lovely Monday.